The Merit Systems Protection Board has some big plans for 2015. That's according to Chairwoman Susan Sway Grunman. In part one of our conversation yesterday, she told me about the board's annual report card for 2014. Today, she discusses her plans for the upcoming year, in addition to establishing an e-filing system for Merit Systems claims. Grunman says she's got two other main priorities to accomplish.
This is actually pretty exciting for us. We are looking to conduct our first merit principal survey in 5 years. And let me talk a little bit about what that is. It's a detailed survey of over 100,000 federal employees that asks questions about what employees see, what they perceive, because perceptions can become reality and perceptions can affect morale, either improving or diminishing it. And morale, we now know, impacts agency performance, so the whole thing is linked. So with the answers that we gather from the survey, it'll form the basis of future studies. And with the studies agenda, which has been set as a result of last year's Sunshine Act meeting and the agenda that's being finalized and posted this week, I understand, you're going to see questions in that survey around those topics. And bear in mind that last time we had the survey was 2010, and that was pre-sequestration, pre-government furlough. So some of those perceptions could have changed in the last 5 years.
And what about the employee viewpoint survey that's done by OPM every year? Will this be overlapping with that, or will you ask different questions?
It's entirely separate. In fact, the timing of it is we avoid EVS so people don't over-survey. But they'll be geared around the specific topics that we hope to study during the next 3 to 5 years.
And is your hunch through all of these changes and turbulence that has affected the federal government in recent years, is it your sense that merit systems as a concept is still pretty much the prevalent way that people are hired and treated?
I would hope so. I mean, that's why we're here. That's why a number of agencies are here, to protect the merit systems. But, you know, lots has been changed. The federal employees have taken a big punch in the last year in terms of criticism. There are certainly less flattering stories about federal employees, even though the vast majority of them excel. We'll see what the survey says. You know, there are some areas I would think that are essentially timeless, that won't change from post-sequestration. But there's some areas that I expect in terms of how trust, you know, faith in terms of future employment. Those things may be altered as a result of the events of the last couple years.
And what is your timeline for the survey? When would you like to have the publishable results?
Cross your fingers, but we hope to get the survey out this year. In terms of the results, the survey itself will run, I think, about a 60-day period. And then the answers to those questions will be sorted out. And you'll start seeing different survey results in the various reports that come out.
All right. So the survey is the second. You said there are three big initiatives you're looking at. So let's keep moving.
Okay. So the third one is continuous, which is to complete the furlough appeals. And finally, we don't know what we don't know at this point. The beginning of 2014, nobody anticipated the VA Accountability Act, but we're adjudicating cases under it. Could there be more legislation like this? I mean, we hear the same rumors that you do.
All right. So getting back to the furlough cases, it seems like almost like you will have created a new body of knowledge about a phenomenon that's pretty unusual in the federal government and does have relation to merit systems. So that should be an exciting proposition, even though it's been a lot of grunt work.
I can't say it's grunt work. I mean, when it's
voluminous.
It's what we do. It's part of it's a statutory right for an employee to file. There are some experiences that once we complete this array of cases, that we'll go back and we'll reflect on how we can do things better. I mean, I think we talked about this before. The last time we had this volume of cases was back in the early 80s with the air traffic controller strike. That was 11,000 cases, not 33,000 cases. And back then, it was carbon copies.
Sure.
So, and how do you consolidate cases? But certainly, there will be some lessons learned.
All right. We're speaking with Susan Sway Grunman, chairwoman of the Merit Systems Protection Board. And you've gotten some things from Congress. I guess the furloughs were a result of what Congress did, and the VA bill, which mm-hmm. changed the treatment of SESers there. What would you like for Congress to do that might possibly help federal employees in a different way?
Well, I think we've said this before, but it really isn't our role to make recommendations to Congress, as we'll be called on down the road to apply those rules and interpret those rules. What we can do is to monitor congressional activity through hearings, discussions, so that we're in the best position to adapt to any changes that will impact the board. A good example of that is with the VA Accountability Act. Once Congress has passed the law, President signed the law, within 2 weeks, we were able to report to Congress and to publish a set of rules that applied the law. So that's, if we're monitoring closely, that's what will happen. And we hear the same stories you hear. It could be a very interesting legislative year for federal employees and certainly for us.
And do you ever get calls from congressional staff or even members asking for your input when they're thinking about something related to federal employees?
Sometimes we do.
What about from the employee unions? Do they ever call or check in with you and ask about things?
We do outreach with the employee unions. Let me go back. In terms of congressional questions, usually we do receive questions, and our input is really limited to, you know, technical advice. This is how it would work for us. This is how it won't work for us. In terms of the substance of the law, then that is not an area where we would weigh in.
So you stay on the rails with respect to policy and let other agencies develop those kinds of things, like OPM, for example.
That's, and it's Congress as well. In terms of other parties reaching out to us, we do routinely conduct outreach to agencies, to unions, to private entities. And that's essentially limited to practice and procedure along with the substance of what our law currently holds.
And of course, as you said, you can't tell Congress what to do. I guess nobody really can in the ultimate sense, not even the president, but maybe the voters, but who knows how much they care about federal employees. But having seen so many cases over the years and watched what's flowing by in the studies you do, what do you think is the most important thing federal managers should do to stay within the proper bounds of what they should do to employees with respect to merit systems and protection?
That's a great question. They should educate themselves or be educated in the merit principles and the prohibited personnel practices. Certain best practices that are out there will avoid a lot of problems. And certainly, if you have transparency in your decision-making process, there'll be fewer suspicions of discrimination, reprisal.
And if you look at, say, 100 cases, what percentage would you say, yeah, this is really something that's difficult to decide, I can see the merit on both sides, and what percentage is, this employee is out of his mind for going to the Merit Systems Protection Board?
And oh, we would never say that.
And conversely, this manager ought to have his head examined. I know you wouldn't put it that way, but do the cases fall on a bell curve of reasonable, difficult cases that reasonable people could disagree about versus someone on either end, management or the employee, is way out of line?
Yeah, well, this is an area where we don't pick the cases that come to us. They just come to us and we take them as they are. Some of them are very, very hard cases, and they're tough decisions. Some of them are a little bit easier, but there are all sorts.
A couple of other items I wanted to ask you about, and that is caseloads going forward. Do you see anything that would drive those up or down, like the sequestration and furloughs did last year?
Right. There are current trends that we see, certainly the furlough cases. The other area we're seeing a surge really is in our whistleblowing docket. Our caseload for whistleblower appeals doubled between 2012 and 2013, a substantial number of cases. And more of these cases are going to a full-blown hearing before an administrative judge on the merits. Lots of witnesses, a lot of documents, multiple disclosures in many of these cases, very complex in nature. And these cases do take longer to process for us. In addition to that, we'll see how many more VASES or appeals that we get. That is a significant demand on a regional office.
Also, there has been a Whistleblower Enhancement Act, so that could affect the caseload at some point down the line, too.
It has already. It has already. It doubled between 2012 and 2013. The law was signed at the end of 2012, so the impact was immediate.
And without getting too technical, I know you've been on a long-term overhaul of adjudication rules and procedures and process. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, we finally finished what we started. Internally, we began in 2011. We brought in the stakeholders and the public and did a public notice period in 2012, where the vast majority of our adjudication regulations were reviewed, overhauled, and made more cohesive in nature. There were some minor tweaks in between due to changes in law, such as the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act. And we finally finished the jurisdiction piece, which was completed, which was published just recently, and will go into effect in March. So we're very proud of our undertaking.
Your term doesn't run forever. What's the future looking like for Susan Grundman?
The future is that I will be here, unless told otherwise, until March 1st, 2016, with the possibility of a holdover for an additional year.
And then you'll write the book?
You know, Tom, I don't know what the future holds, but I think I'd start by taking a break.